You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
Well, if you have your if you have your Bibles and you would like to turn to them, okay? I want to look at a story in Luke's Gospel at the beginning, just prior to Jesus being born. This is the foretelling of his birth, and it's found in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, and I'm going to read through that with you here in just a moment. I want to spend today and next Sunday talking to you about your heart, our hearts, in the context of Advent and in the context of Christ not only having come to the earth, but the reality that he is coming again. And so today I want to begin by talking about the reality that God uses people like you and I, and that we are fit to be used by God, that we are ready, that we are God's chosen vessels, vessels of honor, the Bible says, and that we can be used. I want you to leave here today believing that you can be used by God, that there's nothing standing in the way of that, that there's no obstacles for God in using you. And hopefully as we leave here today, God can release in us and over us this sense of expectation and this sense of I am an opportunity just waiting to be used by God. And that as we do that, we change our perspective on how we look at the life we're living and the encounters that we have and the responsibilities that have been entrusted to us. So I want to talk about the kind of people that God will use this morning for a little bit. All right, let's pray. God, I just want to pray one simple prayer. Use us. Use us. Would you, by your Spirit this morning, bring life and revelation to your Word? Would you put that inside of us somehow and then ignite it so that it does something to us? It literally shifts us, not only to see you differently, but to see ourselves differently. So I ask you to do this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray, Father, that today I decrease in the sense of who I am here, and that Christ increases in me and through me, and that this word preached today will be your word, your truth, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And this is a great story, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of it here, leading up to when Mary goes and visits with Elizabeth and tells her all of what's happened. So here's where it starts. In verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Man, what a greeting. Isn't that amazing? You are favored, highly favored, and the Lord is with you. And then it says in verse 29, though, that Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and she wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, and I think the angel understood that there was something rising up in Mary at that point, and he says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And here's the beautiful response of little Mary. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "Be it to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. For me, that is one of the most amazing passages in all of Scripture. There are just so many volumes of stuff there to talk about and to make application in your life personally. But I want to use it as a springboard this morning to talk about the kind of people that God uses. And I want to just kind of make several sort of statements to you this morning and talk a little bit about this thing. And hopefully you're going to literally shift today and leave here realizing very confidently that God will use you, that God wants to use you, intends to use you, desires to use you, all right? And that there's nothing that can get in the way of that, all right? From God's side, from God's angle of looking at this thing and working out this thing in our lives, there's nothing that can stop Him from using you, all right? And so we're gonna hold on up front to this idea that as it was said here in this passage, nothing is impossible with God. All right, when it comes to your life and you being used by Him having you in His hand, you being His vessel of honor, there is nothing that is impossible with God. So here's the first thing I want to say to you this morning. I want to convince you somehow this morning that God is looking for people. And I think the people that God is looking for are people like you and me. All right? Common people, ordinary people, everyday people. God is looking for people that He can use. We are His creation, not our own. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? And I love this statement. You are not your own. You're not yours. You're God's. God, you belong to Him. You're His creation. You're His possession. He's paid for you. He's bought you, actually, all right? And the Bible even says that His eyes are constantly roaming the earth. He's always looking for His. He's always looking at how He can touch your life, how He can work in you and through you. And I want us to begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, to start looking through His eyes and realize that, hey, you know what? God's looking through me. God's working through me. God's moving through me. I am the vessel. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is in me. I've received this from God. And if you could be confident of that today, it'll transform your life. If you'll just understand and get that inside of your head, inside of your mind, your view of yourself. See, God doesn't have a problem looking at me, nor you. God doesn't have a problem seeing us just as we are. And in all honesty, I don't think God has much of a problem with using us just as we are. Oh, sure, He can see your limitations. He can see mistakes in your life. He can see adversities that you've gone through. He can see scars and wounds and hurts and pains. He can see the things that have bound you up and held you captive. He can see all of that. But He also understands how big He is. And He understands how He can overcome those things, how He can get around those things, how He can even use those things in your life to serve His purposes. And so I want you to begin to see. Let's go to the next verse. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I've used this illustration before, probably in this church and other places too, but I used to work for the JCPenney company in their middle management program, and one of the departments that I had involvement with was fine jewelry. And I was interested in the diamonds that we sold and how they were purchased and how prices were set and the qualities and all those kinds of things. And I sat with a guy who was involved in buying the diamonds, you know, that the JCPenney company purchased for their jewelry and whatnot. And I said to him, how do you decide how much this diamond is going to cost as opposed to this diamond? What all are you looking at? I know you're looking at this clarity thing, and then there's the brilliance of the diamond and all these things. But at the end of it all, how do you come up with that price? How do you figure out what that value is for the diamond? And he said to me, well, the bottom line is, what will somebody pay for it? That's really how valuable it is. It's only as valuable as the amount of money someone would pay. So if I say this diamond is valued at $3,000, but someone is only going to pay $500 for it, the real value of this diamond is $500. That's all it is, $500. All right. You can say it's worth anything. You can say it's worth nothing. But the real value is, what will someone give for it? Now, here's the wow factor in that idea. God gave Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. Nobody else puts the value on you. It's already done. It's capped. It's sealed. It's taken care of. There is nothing of greater value in the earth than you. Nothing. Nothing. And nobody can take that away. Nobody can reduce that. Nobody can clearance you out. Because God has already valued you. God has already put that value. It's there. It's ingrained in you. It's there because God has decided that you are the most valuable thing on this earth. And so He's given Himself. Christ died for your sins to save you, to redeem you out of this earth. So God is looking for the very valuable treasures that He has on this earth. And His desire is to use you. In the coming new year, we want to talk to you a bit about your identity in Christ, who you are in Jesus. Because we really believe that if you can understand what God has done for you and what He has given to you in terms of your identity in Him, it will propel you. It will move you in amazing ways to go out and share that message with others. To understand that value that's placed upon you, hopefully will motivate you to do the very things that God has called us to do as a church, and that is to preach the gospel and to present Jesus Christ in the earth. And so I want you to begin to see that He doesn't want anyone lost, as a matter of fact. Let's look at 2 Peter 3, I think it's verse 9 here. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's intent in what He is doing on this earth is to bring us back to Him. God's desire, God's purpose, God's fixation on the earth, if you will, is to work things to bring us, to draw us to Him. It's always there. It's always in His heart. It's not some distant thought. It's something in the back of His mind. No, it's right in the forefront of everything that God is about and that God is doing, is to bring us to Him. To draw us in and to have intimacy and to have relationship with us. And not just you and I, because we're willing to come here on a cold Sunday morning and sit in a cold, brisk room. It isn't about what you do and it isn't about how you do it. It's about His heart. It's about the reality that the God of heaven, lofty and high and lifted up, is big, and yes, He's there, but He has come. Emmanuel, God with us. He has come and He has made His home in you. Do you not know you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, His Spirit? And so He's come. And so God is looking for people like you and people like me. But here's what I want you to understand about that. And that is that God always has a purpose for our life. God always has a purpose for our life. Let's look at Jeremiah. You know this scripture probably. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God had a purpose for Mary. She's the example for today, all right? But He says in verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I want you to understand this. That plan is in place. That plan has been established. God knew you before you were formed in the womb of your mother. God knew you historically back before you were ever born. Before the foundations of the world had been put into place, God already knew about you. God already had a plan established for your life. So you've got a plan. You're not a nebulous. You're not a floating thing out there. You're not fluid and just going wherever you can flow here in life. No, God has a plan for your life. God has a specific purpose in mind for you. God wants to use you. God had a plan for young Mary. And in the fullness of His time, He begins to speak this plan out. And I want you to understand that God has that. God has that in place for you and I. And I honestly don't believe that it is God's intention for us to always stumble around trying to find some elusive plan that He has for our lives. I don't believe that God is continually wanting to frustrate us with this idea that, well, there's something for me to do, but I just can't quite seem to get it. The Bible says that God has given you everything that you have need of for life and godliness. And that He hasn't given you the spirit of fear. And that's what we're gonna kind of go there in just a moment, this idea of fear and how debilitating it is. But God hasn't given you fear, so our doubt, our unbelief, these things don't come from God. But the Bible says He's given you love and power and soundness of mind. And the reason He's done that is so that you can begin to understand and accept the perfect and pleasing will of the Father. So God has intentions. God has plans for your life, plans that won't harm you, plans that won't create disaster in your life, but will give you purpose and destiny and place. And so I want to challenge us that we begin to see this way and we begin to live out of this and we begin to open our hearts to what it is that maybe God is wanting to do in us and through us. And I believe that we can find this, the substance and the core of that in His Word. There are some things that will be very distinctive to you, very, very unique to you and your personality and your giftings and what you're doing with your life. But all of that is purposeful to God. But I believe there's some core things that God would have all of us to do. Not the least of which is to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and body, strength, all of that. And out of that, love to obey Him, to obey the things that He gives to us. And then beyond that, I think He has a plethora of things that we can do for the kingdom. And the beauty is that all of those things should fit together as we come together. And as we join together as the body, we see more and more of our purpose and how that purpose fits uniquely into the life of the church and into the relationships that God has given us. And that's where I want us to get to, is to that place where we begin to understand that I'm a part of a bigger thing here. I'm a part of this bigger epic story. And God's already written it out. And I get to come into that. I get to join into that. There's a place for me. There's an act and there's a scene where I enter. It's called birth. All right? And I grow up. But there's a point, there's a place, I believe, for every one of us where there is a divine encounter. The angel comes to little Mary. She's a teenage girl. A little girl, if you will. And this angel encounters her, just interrupts her life. And I want to challenge you and I that we let our lives get interrupted. We let this place that we've created, this system that we've built called our life, that is probably for us quite convenient, probably for us quite comfortable, probably quite built around our desires and our wishes and our will. But can we let this life that we are building be interrupted by God? Because I believe that's what God wants to do. He wants to get in there. And I want you to think about this thing. See, there's nothing, interestingly so, there is nothing that's really that special about Mary. The Bible doesn't say we should worship her. The Bible doesn't say she's perfect. The Bible doesn't say she's sinless. She was likely just a young teenage girl. But God comes along and interrupts her life. Why does God choose Mary? Why would He choose me? Why would He choose you? It wasn't because of her education. She didn't have any. It wasn't because of her wealth. She was poor. It wasn't because she was mature. She's just a teenage girl. But God chooses her. God calls to her. Look at John chapter 15, verse 16. In that passage, we get something that's really great. Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Here's what we think. We think that we got up someday, we woke up, we realized that we were sinners. God gave us a revelation of our sin. And so we made a decision. We decided we're going to go and get saved. It's all, I did this. I went and got myself saved today. I went and found Jesus. I knew I needed to be saved. Yeah, God pricked my heart. You know, God convicted me. But I chose Jesus. You know, we preach this stuff. The fiery pulpit preacher is the one who says, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. It's like it's suddenly just our decision, and it's all because we suddenly got this wonderful change of heart, and we decided we're going to choose God. And God, you should be thankful. Oh my goodness, I chose you today. Blessed is the Lord, because I have chosen Him. Come on, you know, some of that kind of stuff gets in us, you know? He chose you. He looked at you through time. He looked down before you were ever breathing, and He saw your life. He saw your sin. He saw your ugly. He saw your bad. And He said, I got an answer. I got a way to get him or get her. And in the fullness of time, I'm going to choose her to come in. I'm going to choose him to come in. And so He sent His Spirit to roam the earth and convict of sin. He chose you. You didn't choose Him. And not only did He choose you, He appointed you then. This isn't some random thing and some like simple, unimportant event. You know, little boys get together and they say, let's play ball. And they say, okay, everybody line up in a line. All right, everybody either jump right or jump left. All right, all you guys are going to be on one team. All you guys are going to be on the other team. Half the little boys go, shoot, because they're friends on the other team. But they play the ball game and they get done. They all go home. It's over. It's done. Finished, forgotten about. No. It's not. God isn't like that. God says, I chose you. But here's the deal. I also appointed you. I didn't do some random little thing here that just is fleeting. And tomorrow you can go do something different. Tomorrow you can be something else. And tomorrow all of this doesn't matter. You got to start to understand that God looked down through time. And He chose your life. He didn't just choose you. He chose your life. He chose you from beginning to end. He chose you from start to finish, from first breath to last breath. He's chosen you. He's chosen to carry you through the days and the hours of your life. And He's chosen you to put purpose and destiny in those days and hours. He's chosen you to fill you with Himself. He's chosen you to shape your character and your nature and make you more like Him. He's chosen you to be a witness and a message. Even in your darkest hour and your greatest adversity, you've got a message that comes from God. Not from you, but God in you, God through you, God speaking out of your life. He didn't choose Mary because she was Mary. He didn't choose Mary because she was a teenager. He didn't choose Mary because she was young. He chose Mary because He had a plan and a destiny for her life from the very foundations of the world. And this is why the angel could come to her and he could say this to her, Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. I want to declare this to you. You're highly favored. Folks, the Lord is with you. When you walk out that door today, the Lord is with you. Every encounter you have, the Lord is with you. Every decision you make, the Lord is with you. Let's start living that way. with such sense of destiny, such sense of purpose. Now, please understand, I am not talking about getting so serious and so concerned about every little decision. You know, I met this girl one day and she was telling me, well, I said, how's your day going? And she goes, well, it's going pretty good. You know, I got up this morning, I asked the Lord, well, should I wear the red sweater or the purple sweater? You know, and so I felt like He was telling me to wear the purple sweater, you know, and so then we were all going to go out for breakfast together. And I was like, should I go, God? Am I, you know, do I need to go with this group? Is that your will for me for today? And so they went to McDonald's, and she was on the way praying. Now, is McDonald's the right place? Because, you know, there's other fast food restaurants too that we could go to. And after a little, I mean, she went on and on with this. And I was like, stop. And then, sweetie, you know, God loves you, but He didn't put you under this bondage. Please, can we pray? I just want to pray for you. I'm feeling bound. You know, I'm like tied up just listening to you. You need freedom. You need freedom. Listen. Magnificent, unbelievable, unexplainable, uncontainable joy is ours. I'm not preaching this kind of stuff to bind you up and to get you to the place where you feel like you gotta ask God before you can breathe. You know? No, I'm talking about living a life that's filled with joy and filled with excitement and filled with anticipation and filled with fun and laughter and all of that, but in such a way that in all of that, you're sensing that the Lord is with us. The Lord's here. We're having fun together. We're doing the things of the kingdom. We're pushing back darkness. We're overcoming evil. We're establishing the kingdom of God. We're worshiping Jesus. We're having some fun doing this stuff. I want your life to be filled with excitement. I want to send you out to witness for the kingdom, for Jesus. I want in this next year coming up, I want us to have a great thrust of evangelism. But I don't want to send out a bunch of mully, grubbin', crab apple, ugly people. Because if I send that out, no one's going to want Jesus. You know? It's amazing how Jesus has been misrepresented oftentimes. Someone sent me a story just a little while back, and this woman, she was driving a car along, you know, this guy in a truck cut in front of her, you know, and so there was a cop behind her, and he turned the light on and the siren and all that stuff, you know, and she actually thought he was going to, you know, like stop the truck because the truck had pulled out in front of her, but he just stayed right behind her. He was just right on her tail, and eventually she realized that he's trying to stop me, and so she stops the car and she's like, "Officer, did I do something wrong?" And he says, "I need to check your identification and the registration of the car and all that kind of stuff." And he takes it all and goes back and he's, you know, he's figuring it all out, and he comes back and he says, "It's okay, you can go." And she goes, "What just happened?" And he goes, "Oh, well, you know, that truck pulled out in front of you, it kind of cut you off a little bit, you know." And he goes, "You know, I watched you, you know, it's like your hand went up and then you flipped the guy off. And you were, you know, I could tell you were like just cussing and carrying on, and you ran up behind him real fast and kind of hit the brake then, like you were, and then you turned your lights on and he says, "You know, the bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, 'If you know Jesus, honk,' and the other one that says, 'If Jesus comes and the rapture takes place, this car will be unmanned,' and all that." He goes, "I just assumed that you had stole this car." Supposedly that's a true story. Now, I don't have documentation of that. But it's a good example of what I'm talking about here, in that oftentimes we misrepresent the Savior. We misrepresent Jesus. You know, the angel's coming and saying, "Mary, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you." But what he's really saying is, your destiny is about to happen. Your destiny is about to come forth. And you're about to represent God with such purpose. Now, he says, she says, "Well, what kind of greeting is this?" She hadn't heard this before. In all of her few years, no one had ever been greeted like this. What kind of greeting is it? Who is this guy? What kind of greeting is this? And he says, well, here's the deal. You're going to have a baby. All right, girls, come on. If some like angelic man walked up to you and said, blessed are you, dear, you're highly favored of God. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you're going to have a baby. Just think about it. Put yourself there. Ha! Right. You're an idiot. Get away. You know? Dismissed. No. Somehow, when this angel spoke these words to her, she got it. It set inside of her. This is where I want us to be, to where we're sensitive enough to the Spirit of the Lord to understand that when God speaks something, it sets inside of us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it rises in us. And we're able to say, yeah, yeah. It's big, but yeah. And she's able to say, all right, whatever the Lord says, so be it. She's able to embrace the will of God. I think that's a reason that God chose her for that awesome responsibility of giving birth to the Savior, is He knew she would do it. She would take it, all right? And that's the next statement I want to make to you. The truth is, God chose Mary because she became willing. She was as ordinary as you and me, but she was willing to allow God to interrupt her life. And that's where I want you and I to get to, is that we can say with excitement, with joy, with anticipation, God, interrupt me. Come on in. Shift me. Change me. Move me. Whatever you want to do, I submit to that, Lord. I give you my life, and you can interrupt my plans. You can interrupt what I'm trying to do. My hunch is that little Mary was probably out there dreaming about wedding plans. I know what I'm going to do, and I know how we're going to have this wedding, and I can't wait, and I'm going to anticipate this, and I'm going to enjoy the anticipation of all of this, and it's going to be fun to give myself to this man and to love him, and he's the only man I will ever know, and he will honor me, and he will bless me, and he will take care of me, and this will be great. And I mean, she says to the angel, this can't be. You see, I'm a virgin. I've not been with a man. And it gets bigger. It's all right. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. It's the Son of God. Whew. Don't be afraid of something big. Don't be afraid of something big. Get a big idea in your head from God. Get a big image about God and who He is. Think bigger. Let faith rise up inside of you and make it big. Make it big. Make it epic. I've been pastoring this church for many years. I'm very comfortable pastoring a small church. But I don't get comfortable if God isn't doing something big. And I never lose the desire or the belief that God wants to do something big. He doesn't need a big church to do big things. He just needs people who can see God big and who are willing to come along with God in what He wants to do. And to understand that the favor of God is upon them. I believe the favor of God is upon Life Church. I believe the favor of God is upon you as His people. Now, to understand that Mary was highly favored, as the angel said, that is not to set her apart so much. She is highly favored. She is sanctified. She is set apart for God's purposes here. But to understand this right, we have to be able to understand that this is not just about a little girl that's been set apart for a purpose, but it's about a big God. And that we set Him apart from all the other influences and voices of our lives. You know, she could have done so many things and said so many things to that angel, but rather she submitted to this. And what I want you to understand, just like she understood, that He, God alone, favors us. That He alone chooses us. That He alone loves us so much to give, not only to give Himself, not only to give Christ to die for our sins, but to give out of the abundance of His greatness now into our lives to equip us and to bless us and to sustain us so that we can do what we need to do for Him. See, even though she was ordinary, God used her in extraordinary ways. And I'm going to believe that for you and I. Because this is what it's all about. God wants to use you. God wants to use us. God wants to interrupt these ordinary lives and use us to do something wonderful that will bring Him great honor. And I want you to be in that. I want you to come along with that. I want you to say, that's where I want to be. You guys going to Brazil? Don't think small. Don't think small here. God is about to send you into one of the most anointed countries on the face of the earth. There is a greater hunger for revival and for being thrust out in missionary outreach in Brazil than probably most any other country in the world right now. Brazil is rising up in the financial sector of global economics like no other country. Brazil has the most amazing abundance of natural resources of any country on the face of the earth. And there are some unique things happening in the country of Brazil in terms of God dealing with and exposing corruption and bringing down some of the corrupt power structures in that country. God's moving in Brazil. God's giving the keys of revival, if you will, to Brazil in some amazing ways. And God is going to allow some of you to go and do that. And God's going to allow the rest of us to support that and pray for that and get behind that. And there are many other things that God's going to open doors for us as Life Church to do. Not the least of which is that we can touch this city and this neighborhood. We've got to begin to see that we are not serving some ordinary kind of idol here, but we're serving the living God, the God of heaven and earth, the God of creation, the God who wants that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Let me ask you a question. You think Mary was afraid? Here's that fear thing. Do you think she's afraid of what's going to happen? I do. I think she was terrified. When I just think about it, and I think about humanity as I know it and as I've experienced it over these 56 years of life, I think she was absolutely probably terrified at this idea that she was going to carry the Son of God and give birth. Because see, it's not just, oh my goodness, I'm going to be pregnant and I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. It wasn't like, okay, then God's just going to take him and go on his way and it's over and I can move on with my life. She and this man who doesn't even know yet. He hasn't even been included yet in the scheme of things are going to have to raise the Son of God. Held my first son when he was born, and the first thing out of my mouth was, God, you have got to help me. I do not know how to be a dad. I am scared to death. I think this little girl is absolutely terrified here. What do I do? What are the things going through her head? Fear of criticism. What's everybody going to think? I'm going to have to go and tell this man that I'm pregnant. And tell him it's okay, I'm still a virgin. Is he going to buy this? What's my dad going to think? What's my mother going to say? What are the people in the community going to say and think? The fear of the supernatural. What's going to happen to me? What is this going to require of me? This is spooky. this is out there. You know? She didn't even have television, you know. I mean, she says, what is going to happen to me? Fear of inadequacy. How can I handle this? How can I do that? I'm so small. God's so big. How do I fit into God's scheme of things? How can He use me to do this? Fear of change. What is this going to do to my life? How is this going to change me? What? I had plans. I had things I wanted to do. See, I think when that angel looked at her and said, "Mary, you don't need to be afraid." I think God heard her heart. I think God understood all these things that were going through her, all of these fears that were trying to rise up. I can't do this. I'm not adequate. God is too big. And what will people think? And what if I fail? Anybody relate to any of those kinds of questions? You have not been given the spirit of fear. Don't receive it. Here's what you got to understand. You can't have a present you haven't been given. If there's fear in your life, it isn't yours. You don't possess it. It's the enemy's. Let's give it back to Him. Let's give it back to Him. It wasn't a gift to begin with. And you weren't, please understand this, and there's no condemnation in this now, but you weren't forced to take it. And sometimes there's been things that's been put on us that we don't even realize. How many times have you ever gone in a room and in the dark of the night, and all of a sudden you just feel fear? It's like an entity, you know, it starts to grip you. And the more you're there, the more you feel it, you know, and it feels cold and it feels scary, you know. How many times you stepped out to do something, like stand up in front of a group of people and share something? Doesn't even have to be your faith, just share. How many of you had speech class? That 2-minute speech? Oh my goodness. It's 37 minutes at least in feeling. You know? So the hardest 2 minutes of your life. What's that stuff you college students do at the end of colloquium? What is it? Is that it? Colloquium. Colloquium. Is that right? You have to give a full-fledged presentation. My goodness. Some people break out. Things happen to their skin. When I stood up to preach my first sermon, I threw up. Second sermon. Third, fourth, fifth. First year. Second year preaching. Every morning, ritual. Get up, look in the mirror, throw up, brush my teeth. You guys are laughing. It is the truth. Fear. Fear of man. Fear of failure. Fear that I had this strange fear on occasion, and it wasn't because I was horribly sinful. I was sinful, but not horribly sinful. But just this fear that if I preach something and it's not right or I'm not living it, God's going to, like, you know, take me out or something. Fear. Stupid fears. Crazy fears. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that the enemy will try to stop you from receiving the destiny and the purpose of God. And you've got to be able to overcome that. You've got to be able to rise above that. And I love this little lady because she says, "Okay, then so be it. As God says it, let it be." See, these are the same fears that keep you and me from allowing God to interrupt our lives. Not just this Christmas season, but any time. God uses people who are willing to let Him in. God has a plan for your life. It's not automatic, but the plan is there. And God never takes away your free will, but the plan is there. And if we're not careful, we can waste our life and it never count for anything great simply because we're bound up. Or we can say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be used by you. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I want you to understand something. When God looked down through time and He chose you, and He said, this one is mine. And then He put the value on you and said, I'm going to give everything for you. And He redeemed you and brought you in. He didn't bring you in to watch you and wait for you to not do it right so that He could punish you. Do you understand that? He's not trying to catch you. He's not trying to work against you. There's a story, it's kind of corny, but it's a good little story. This little kid catches three birds in a little, puts them in a little cage. He's walking down the street. He's kind of like swinging this cage with these three birds. They're like all over the place, and they're just little, you know, field birds. And this preacher comes by, and he goes, hey, what are you going to do with those birds? And he goes, they're not worth anything. They're just old field birds. So I'm going to take them back, and I'm going to poke them. I'm going to pull their feathers out. I'm going to tie strings to their feet and drag them around, and then I'm going to feed them to my cat. He's planning on having a really good day. And the pastor said, well, how much you want for them? And he goes, you don't want to pay money for these. They're just field birds. And he goes, no, I want them. I'll buy them. What do you want for them? So as the story goes, the little kid sized this pastor up for being quite a dumb person. He figures, well, he's dumb enough to buy them. He's dumb enough to pay a lot of money for them. $10 a piece, $30, all three birds. He goes, I'll take them. Takes the money out and gives it, you know, to him, whatever. Pastor takes the birds. He goes over to the field, opens the cage, and he reaches in and he lets them out one by one. And they fly away. And he takes the cage and he goes back home. And he sits there that night and he looks at that empty cage. And he was just consumed with the sense of God's presence. And he said, that's you, God. That's you. He goes next morning, Sunday morning, he sets that bird cage up on the podium with the door open, nothing in it. And he says, here's the story of this empty cage. And he related the story of the little boy and paying the money for the birds. And he says, now here's the application. Satan has captured us all through sin. He pokes at us and he pulls our feathers out, so to speak. He ties these strings to our legs and drags us around. And eventually his intent is to kill and destroy us. But God. God gave His Son to die on the cross, paid the money, paid the price, redeemed us in order to take us and pull us out of that bondage and out of that cage, release us. That's what I want you to get today, release us. I believe that God is wanting to release you into ministry. The ministry of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost people. I believe that in this season, it would be so easy for you to get bound in fear or anger, or self-centeredness, or hate, or sexual sin, or anything. I mean, it's all out there. But here's the thing. God has set you free. He has redeemed you. And so I want to challenge you that you live out of love, not out of fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. God didn't set you free to punish you. God didn't set you free to find fault in you. God didn't set you free to measure you up short. God didn't set you free to condemn you. He says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you get that? God saw you, redeemed you, put that value on you because He wants to use you. He wants to interrupt your life in this season and use you for His glory. And I want to challenge you to see that and live that out. Begin to see yourself that way. Don't exempt yourself from this message. Don't disqualify yourself. I understand that battle. I have fought the battle of being disqualified for 3 years of my life. And only lately have I really been able to rise above it. It's like the enemy has wanted to take my voice away. Take me out. Don't let the enemy do that. Consider the offer, just as Mary did. Think about this. God can take a poor, uneducated peasant girl and make her the mother of God. Don't you think He can do something with your life? Don't you think He can use you? Don't you think you can make some kind of difference when God gets a hold of the things that He has put inside of you and there is a release? Begin to believe that you're paid for, that it's done. It's taken care of. The sin thing is over. And God will use you. Here's the conclusion of this matter today. It comes down to one simple question. What will you give God? This is His birthday we're talking about, you know. What are you going to bring to the King? What are you going to give to the Savior? He says silver and gold is His. He doesn't need that. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, does He not? All right, but the reality is, He doesn't have everything until He has your heart. There's only one thing in this earth that God wants, that God desires, and that is you and I. That is His desire. That is His passion. That is His drive. It's you. He loves you. He loves you. He chose you before the foundations of the world. You were His. And when the enemy came and captured you through sin, He didn't give up. He put a greater value on you and gave His Son, Jesus Christ. And now He's asking you to give your life in obedience to Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. For this is your reasonable act of worship. Let's do that. Let's do that today. Let's just decide right now that we're going to believe the truth and not a lie. Let's just decide right now that we're going to do something big because we got a big God, not because we're big. Let's just decide right now that we're not going to become great in this thing, but we're going to make God great. And let's decide that we're not going to shrink back. We're not going to lose our confidence. We're not going to throw something away. We're not going to live under the belief that we've been in some way disqualified or that we can't be used. And we're going to be willing to let God interrupt our lives. If you are willing to do that, I want you to stand with me right now. Just right where you are. Please understand this. In standing, you are saying, I am going to let God interrupt my life this holiday. And then you're going to be ready for that interruption to come. And you're going to let God do something through you that hopefully is extraordinary and out of the ordinary. All right? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to look upon every heart in this room that is standing today. And I ask you to interrupt that heart in the name of Jesus. I ask you to get into our worlds. I ask you to get into our lives in powerful ways. I ask you to tear down every obstacle in front of every person standing here, every fear, every doubt, anything the enemy has used, I ask you to bring it down. And I ask you to arise and shine, that your glory may be upon them, that your light may be in them, and that they might fulfill your will and purpose in this season that we are in and beyond. God, you do this because you are God. And just like little Mary, I pray for every heart in this room to respond, yes. As you say it, so it shall be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I want you to anticipate God doing some amazing things. And we would like to hear about some of those amazing things, all right? So as God interrupts your life, come and talk to one of the pastors and let us know what's going on. I want to be able to put some of these things out on email. I want to share some of them on Sunday mornings, but it's time for the testimony of the Lord to come alive. It is time. It's time to speak about the goodness of God, the greatness of God, because that will build our faith up and encourage us all. So let's be willing to share the goodness of God with those around us. All right? Hey, it's time to eat some sweets. Life is short. Eat dessert first. Amen? So, enjoy some fellowship and some good time together. All right, please be careful out on the roads today. God bless you all.